This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father, that we can praise your name, that we can glorify your name, that we actually cannot get enough of it. To praise you for who you are, the creator of heaven and earth. So big. We cannot put it in words, and that we can have a relationship with you, Father. We thank you for that, that we can come this afternoon as a congregation, that we can praise your name, that we can come and listen to you, what is on your heart, what you want to share with us as a congregation. Thank you, Father, that our hearts are open to hear what you want to put in our hearts this afternoon. And Father, I bind any other thought, any other distraction which maybe wants to take us away to other places or other things. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus and that we can receive what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that we can call you our Father in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's all of us, we've got a name. And maybe that you somewhere find your name around it, I'm not quite sure. Mine at least is not there, I've checked it. So mine is too difficult. But each and every one of us have got one name, and we are linked to that. We link a person with a name, so that's how we remember that person again. But it's also what we link to that name. We say, okay, that's that person, or that's that name. And it will help us to identify that person as well. But if we go to God's name, that's the next one, Ian. There are 951 times in the Bible that there's a name or a title or a description of God. And still the 951 times cannot describe who God is. He's still bigger than that. So we only have got one name, and God cannot even be described by 951. It's still more than that. And that's that awesome God that we are serving. And it's about that name, what I felt the Lord put on my heart, where we've got to speak a little bit about. And in the first, where it is quite obvious, where it is immediately pops up, if we start with our Father, then we can see that it's about his name, about God's name. It was Jesus who was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were preaching and praying on the corners with a lot of noise, and that all the people must see them. And then Jesus was teaching his disciples, and then he said to them, "Therefore, do not be like them. Do not be like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. For your Father knows the things you have a need of before you ask." So even before we actually tell the Father of what we're looking for, he already knows it. He already knows what we are looking for. "For your Father knows the things you have a need for before you ask him. And in this matter, therefore pray." And then the Our Father, which is, I think, most of the, besides John 3:16, maybe most of the one well-known part out of the Bible. And then it starts, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And if we take a look at the Our Father, then we actually have got six, what they call petitions, six requests. And the very first one is, "Hallowed be your name." And as I was reading it and as I was spending time with it, and now I'm preaching for myself as well, I actually became aware again that that's such an important part. That's the most crucial part. And it is giving glory to God. Hallow his name. If we don't do that, then we in effect are actually not recognizing him. Who he is, his character, his identity. We're not doing it. We're falling short of it. Hallowed be your name. And I've prayed the Our Father in many languages, quite a few languages, and I've prayed it many times. But I've never actually stood still and thought about it. And that God also revealed it to me, how important that part is. And we're falling short many times about it. It's very easy to go over it. And like it says, he's talking about the six petitions. The first three petitions is about the preeminence of God, the importance of God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's first to the Father, giving glory to the Father. And then we come. Then we come with our shopping list. Then we come with our Jumbo and Albert Heijn list. And then we say, Lord, please do not forget us. Give us our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The first one is so important. The first one is the key to the others. If we do not do the first one, we actually cannot start with the others. We cannot go to God and say, okay, please give me my daily bread. We've got to show a little bit of respect. We've got to first acknowledge who God is. Hallowed be your name. And hallowed be your name is very important. It's about making him holy, purify him, consecrate him, because the name is coming from Hagiazo. I don't know if the pronunciation is correct in the Greek, but it's really to sanctify, to be holy, to hallow, to purify, to consecrate, to make holy. There's such a lot of things which are built into that word hallow. Glorify God, make his name high. And then also where it says your name. And the name is not only just a name or a surname, but it has got more in it. It's an identity, it's a character, it's a description of what it actually is, who God is. God is the creator of heaven and earth. In the name of God, all the thoughts of God is all included in it. And we cannot use the word God and hallowed be your name just lightly or just quickly read over it. We really have got to give it the attention, and we've got to do it the correct way, giving us the access to the other petitions which were following after that. The Israelites were quite known with this, hallowed be your name. They knew it. So it was for them, in their prayers, it was quite used to it to use it. They didn't find it very difficult to use it. And so when Jesus was teaching them as well, the disciples, it was for them quite common to make God really who he is. I think we even cannot do it in words. We cannot do it in singing songs. We cannot do it in whatever we want to do. God is so great. He's so big. We can try to describe it. The 951 times is still not enough. God is so big. And we've got to give him that honor. We've got to glorify his name. And then once we've done that, then we can start and then we can go into the others. So we've got to acknowledge him, who he is, that he's the living God. Peter at a certain time also was acknowledging that God is the living God and that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Again, Jesus was in conversation with his disciples and then he was asking the questions. Who do the people say who I am? And then the second question would he ask, but who do you say I am? And then Peter replied. Peter was always very fast, and he came immediately with this answer over there. And then Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not been revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's a confession of Peter. He's confessing God over there. He's giving God the honor what God needs over there. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, you're blessed. Simon Barjona. He's not calling him Simon Petrus over there. He's calling him Simon Barjona. Because Barjona means son of Jonah. And he's just, and what he says, the next part as well, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It's not a clever mind thing from Simon which came up and he said, okay, yeah, this is what it's got to be, but God, the Father, has revealed that to him. And Jesus carries on. And I say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter was not the rock on which the church has been built, because Jesus is the rock. We know that. But the reason that Jesus is saying that, because Peter is making that statement, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who God was, and he knew who Jesus was, and he knew what Jesus has done. And then Jesus says to him, on this rock I will build my church. It's not Peter's church. It's not Shofar church. It's the church of God, church of Christ. I will build my church, and God is going to build a church. This is more or less the first time that we see that the word church has been used. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to come and that Jesus was going to bring a type of a kingdom over there, and then they would wipe out the Romans, something like that. They had that in mind. But it didn't happen. Jesus was talking about a church, a congregation, people coming together, like we are a church over here together, ecclesia, together, where people are gathering, where believers are gathering together. So that was also for the disciples, it was a type of a teaching moment, what they anticipated and where they were looking for, that there was going to be a kingdom. It didn't happen. Jesus said, I'm building my church. It's a different thing what God wanted to build over here. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The enemy is trying to attack, and the enemy is successful in many ways. In our societies we can see it, that he is managing to overpower the people, but not the church. The church will stand against it. And then he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Keys are giving us access to something. All of us must probably have got keys of the house or the room where we are staying, which means we can unlock it and we can go into it, and we've got an authority and we've got a responsibility in that area. If you're lucky enough that you've got a car, then you've got a key as well, where you can ignite it and you can drive with it and you can go wherever you want to go. So there's an authority coming with it as well, because you've got authority over that car, so you can move and you can go wherever you've got to go. And Jesus is saying to him, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the key. That is the access what we get to heaven. If we're going to testify, if we're going to agree with Peter, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, and we serve a living God who's much higher than that. Before we came in 2015 over here to establish this church and plant the church over here, it was, I think, something in 2014, we decided we're going to make these leather key rings and that we were going to give it away to people in South Africa before we came over here, but that we also wanted to give it away to students over in here in the Netherlands as well. And the idea was that whenever you use your keys, you will see the key ring, it will remind you again, oh yeah, Derek and René are in the Netherlands, let's pray for them, something like that. The same, but if we're going to hand it to a student over here and who was visited once over here, and they use it, say, oh yeah, Shofar Church, yeah, I think I'll better go again to church. So the idea was twofold what we actually wanted to do with what the key rings was concerned. But I didn't know that later on God spoke to me and said how important it is, the whole principle of key, the keys, to get keys to something. And then once you get a key to something, you also get a responsibility for that. And I've got to open up my journal, which was the 16th of March 2015. And the Lord was speaking to me and said, you go. I've already gone before you. You have the key to open strongholds which were locked for generations. You can bring freedom to this town. Be prepared. And this is something, if God is giving us keys, then he's giving us authority as well. Then we can go there. I want to repeat it again. You go. I've already gone before you. So we didn't came into Utrecht totally new. Other people have already pranked beforehand. Other people are already busy with God's kingdom over here. You go. I've already gone before you. You have the keys to open strongholds. And in the stronghold, what the Lord referred me to, what Utrecht has got, is pride. And pride is one of those things, if we come back again to what we spoke about just now, to put God first. Because a person who's full of pride doesn't put God first. He puts himself first. And that's a thing which, unfortunately, is a stronghold here in Utrecht, which were locked for generations. So it's not something which happened just the last generation. No, it's for generations. It's something which has been building up continuously. Became stronger and stronger. You can bring freedom to this town. Be prepared. So God is giving us the keys that we can go into Utrecht. And if God is giving us the keys, then he's also giving us the authority and the responsibility. Which means that in the spiritual realm, we can do certain things because God is giving us the authority. I, for instance, have got more authority to pray over my wife and to pray over you as what a Benny Hinn has got in America over my wife or over this congregation. But I haven't got any authority over Benny Hinn and his wife on the other side or his congregation. But I've got authority over here. And it's the same in the area where you're moving around. If you're in a specific office where you're working, you've got authority over there. In your household, you've got authority over there. If you're a husband, you've got authority over your wife. You can pray for your wife. You can speak a blessing over your wife. Each and every day. Bless her. Your children as well. Bless them. If we are the father, then we are a king, a priest, and a prophet. We've got a responsibility. And that's something awesome what we can do, that we can speak a blessing, that we've got an authority that we can pray for them. And I'm trying to do it each and every day. That's about the keys. In my name. Jesus has given authority to Peter, but he's given authority to the disciples. And he also gave authority to us. Because if we were going to see it and say, okay, it's only going to be for Peter, then basically when Peter was gone, the church couldn't be planted anymore. This is also applicable for us, for each and every one who says, God is my Savior. We can go and we can tell other people about it, that God is the living God, the Creator, and Jesus is his Son. We've got a lot of authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the questions always come immediately from, how are we going to do it? Where am I going to do it? And when am I going to do it? I just would like to quickly touch all three of them. How are we going to do it? By saying, acknowledging the position that we've got, and then using that name and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're saying it because we're acknowledging who Christ is and the power that we've got which can work through us. We are a representative from God, from God's kingdom on this earth, and we've got an authority with that. And we can say, in the name of Jesus. We can give instructions, we can use the power, and we can also allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. So how are we doing it? By mentioning it, by saying it, in the name of Jesus Christ. And where are we going to do it? We're going to do it at the places where God puts us. So maybe you are here, and some of you are students over here, who are here for a certain period. But ask God. God, to whom do I have to speak? If you start the day and say, Lord, this is now a new day. What do you want me to do? What I should do for your kingdom? And let the Holy Spirit work through you, and that you can make a difference in other people's lives. It could be that you're walking in the street, and that you see somebody with a crutch and you think, no, wait a moment, the Holy Spirit is telling me I must pray for that person. Pray for that person. If the Holy Spirit is stirring you, pray for that person. In the name of Jesus, you can do that. And if you're in a certain area and you suddenly feel that there's a pain in your shoulder, just ask, who's got a pain in your shoulder from the people around you? And if there's somebody, then you pray for that person. Because the Holy Spirit is stirring you. We've got to be open for it. So we can do it wherever God is sending us, or in whatever position God is telling us, that we can use it. And when are we going to do it? We're using it whenever it is necessary. The main thing what we're using it for is for healing, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we speak a healing over somebody else. Peter said at a certain time, that is in Acts 3, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So what is he doing? He's first telling, in the name of Jesus, the position, the relationship he's got with God the Father, in the name of Jesus. And then he's saying, rise up, what the person has got to do, the authority what he's got. And then he instructs him, and walk. Now this guy has been sitting there for how long? But Peter feels God wants to heal that person, and he's prepared to let it flow through him and to obey what the Holy Spirit is telling him to do. Not only for healing, but also for sending out demons. Sending out demons is a little bit of a tricky thing because not much attention is paid to it. But if we take a look at Mark, we will see many times that bringing of the message, presenting of demons, sending out of demons, those two are mentioned together in the same breath, how important it is. Acts 16, and this he did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that very hour. And also in Luke 10, verses 17, when the 70 were sent out and when they returned back, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. How important it is, the name of that, the name of Jesus, the name of the Creator of heaven and earth. Two verses later, Jesus is also saying, Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we've got authority. God has given us authority over all the powers. Not over the enemy, but all the powers of the enemy. And that's where we've got authority. And then in prayer as well, we also go to God and we pray. And there's one prayer over here which I just would like to read, which is so awesome to see what's happening after the prayer. It is Peter and John. They healed the person and they had some problem, and then they came back, they were released, and they were in a prayer meeting and they were testifying about it, how God has saved them. And then in verses 29, Now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, which means the people who were together with them where they were praying, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. In the name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. And they had prayed, and the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They couldn't keep quiet. What they experienced, they couldn't keep quiet about it. They could speak with boldness. They could share it with other people. They could pray for other people, and the Holy Spirit could flow through them. At the end of Mark, we also got at first what it's talking about, what we can do, and that those signs are going to follow us, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why I find it so important, because it's written in Mark. Mark is the gospel which was, call it, written first. The others were written, I nearly can say, out of it. So it's very important that we can keep that in mind as well. It's going to follow us in the name of Jesus. We can heal, we can send out demons, we can do that in the name of Jesus. I just want to quickly touch a few points of a story in 2 Chronicles, and I haven't got any scripture with that. It is when King Jehoshaphat was in Judah. It's one of those periods when you had the one king coming, the other one going, and the other one was for 5 minutes, the other one for 3/4 of an hour, and the other one for 15 years, and they came and they went and so on. But this one is Jehoshaphat. But to see how important he knew that God was, that as soon as he had a problem, he went to God. And then how it reacted and what actually happened after that, after he went to God. I'm just going to read a few verses out of that story. And it happened after that, that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. These were quite a lot of people, and they came and they were going to fight Jehoshaphat, and he knew he's going to lose. There's not much hope for it. But then listen what he's doing. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's not a matter of getting all the clever people together, have a strategic meeting. No. God, we are your beloved people. We are children of yours. Tell us, what do you want us to do? And they were seeking his face. They were praying, they were coming together. And they were saying, oh Lord, God of our fathers. So they were confirming again who God was. This is what they did first. They confirmed that God was their father. Of God was God, that the Lord was God of their fathers. And then they also say, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. They say, Lord, we're expecting from you that you're going to show us what we've got to do. For us, we haven't got a clue. We're going to be wiped out, because those are far too many, those people who are coming. And as they were seeking God's face, the Holy Spirit came. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, and he started to tell what the Lord told him. And then he said, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not that they had to defeat those enemy. God was going to defeat that enemy. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow you go against them, for the Lord is with you. And then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So when they heard the reply from God, they reacted on it. They gave honor to God. They glorified his name for what he was, and that he was giving them instructions what they had to do. And then Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army. Now, if you're a general, I don't think do you ever think about it, to send a praise team before your army. I don't think you will. You must probably say, no, wait a moment. I don't think. Jehoshaphat is doing it. To God, all the glory and all the honor. And the people who are praising the Lord are going out beforehand, before the army. And they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And what actually happened is that the people from Ammon and Moab first wiped out the people from Mount Seir, and then the people from Ammon and Moab started fighting with each other. They helped to destroy one another. No one had escaped. All of them, they killed themselves. All of them wiped out themselves. The Israelites were basically just standing and watching how it happened. They didn't do anything. It was the Lord who was fighting there. And then the beautiful thing about it, and God doesn't stop. He carries on because he blesses them. Because then the Israelites went into that area where all the dead people were laying, and they were collecting for 3 days all the spoil which was there. Jewelry, gold, silver, whatever they had, for 3 days. So God was blessing them as well. Not only taking the threat away, but God blessed them as well. And then on the fourth day, they came together, and then they blessed the Lord. They had such a lot of joy. They went to the Lord, or to the house of the Lord, and they gave honor and glory to God, the Creator, because they knew what they had to do. How they started, the This is how they finished as well. They went to the Lord and they said, thank you. And then the realm of Joseph, it was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. I've mentioned 3 points, and I just would like to get those 3 points together. We cannot actually start without acknowledging God and giving glory to his name. As Jesus was teaching his disciples, the Our Father, this is the most important thing. If we don't do it, we're actually missing it. We can't go into the others if we haven't given glory to God the Father before. Hallowed be your name. God is first, always first. There's no second. Always, always first. And that's the key to the petitions, what we've seen in the Our Father. God is giving us authority and responsibility to use to build his kingdom. It's not our kingdom, it's God's kingdom. Where Jesus was saying to Peter, I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven. He was giving it to Peter, he was giving it to the disciples, and he's giving it to us, the keys. We can go and we can make a difference in the areas where God is sending us. And then the last one, that we can go in the name of Jesus. There is an immense power if we can say that, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, we have the authority and the responsibility. We sometimes run away from it, that we are not prepared to stand up and to use that authority and to use that responsibility. We feel, no, it's not for us, it's for somebody else. But God just wants to use us. He wants to use us at the place where we are, and that we can make a difference in the people's lives. I want to finish off with reading a type of a blessing over you. It's the one which Paul wrote in Ephesians, and I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Paul speaking to the Ephesians, then he says, for this reason I bow down my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory of in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father, that we can thank you, that you're there, that you're the creator of heaven and earth. And Father, it's many times that we are already busy with bringing our shopping list and bringing the things which are keeping us busy and being the things which makes it difficult for our lives, that we're bringing it to you, Father, instead of giving you honor and giving you glory for who you actually are. And Father, I pray that we can give you the honor which you need, that we can praise your name. It can be in song, it can be in maybe even sometimes just be quiet and listen to what you want to share with us. To acknowledge that you, as creator of heaven and earth, also want to communicate with us, that you also want to reveal things in our lives, that you want to speak into our lives. Thank you, Father, for the places where you've put us, that we can use that authority and that responsibility which you've given to us, and that you've given us that key in the name of Jesus Christ, which is opening up so many doors, which has got such a lot of power, Father, and that we're not going to leave it, but that we can use it for building your church. You've placed us here in Utrecht, and there may be some people who are here for only for a short period and going to other places again, Father. I pray that you're going to stir their hearts as well, that they will also use the authority and the responsibility what they've got in those areas, Father, that all over the world, that your kingdom can come forever and ever. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.